Now, for the little message this morning, and it'll have to be a little one because it's almost 11:30 now, I read where there is a point on the Arabian seaside where two currents meet. These currents are both strong currents, and where they meet, each current struggles for the right of way. The result is that in that otherwise calm sea, there is an area of boiling, tossing, turbulent confusion. Peace all around it, but just where these currents meet. Now, many souls are the meeting place of contradictory currents and of conflicting emotions and desires. People want mutually exclusive things. Things that in the very nature of the things themselves could not possibly coexist. And in the end, they get nowhere. Now, when a life is balanced between competing ends, the result of that is weakness, inner collapse, and lack of outer effectiveness. There are many that would like to have the full enjoyment of Christ, but they want other enjoyments as well. Consequently, they attach their affections to first one thing and then another. Many of us long for the benefits of union with Christ. I suppose we all want that. Our desires run that way. But at the same time, inwardly, the affections has bowed to some idol in the heart. Now, if God sees that He can utterly detach us from all earthly ties and fuse us into a close union with Himself through the crucified way, the crucified life, His love will not shrink from reducing us to the depth of despair and death. He will apply the sword to every tie that binds us to this world. He will spoil all of our joys, our peace. Oh, you say the Lord's going to destroy joy out of somebody's life? Yes, He'll do that. He'll destroy all of our joys and our peace and our complacency outside of Himself. He's wanting to fuse us into a closer union with Himself. We have a song that says, "It is not in grief to harm me while thy love is left to me. And it is not in joy to charm me were that joy unmixed with thee." In other words, where God is wanting to get you and me is where we can really enjoy the fullness of joy in Him, and that we can turn our backs on those things, however much we might think that we would enjoy them, that we will renounce and reject them if Christ couldn't enjoy them with us. If it's something that Christ in His nature and in His spirit, He couldn't enjoy that, then we will renounce it also. God, in His efforts to get you and me out of our duplicity of life, out of a conflict of wills, I passed by where a father was having a little problem with his child. They were sitting in the car, and he was having to chastise the little fellow some. I passed by, and he said, "There's a little battle of wills going on here." The youngster had a will, and he was trying to exert that. The father had a will, and he was trying to bring the child under that, and just a little battle of the wills. Now, folks, many times there's a battle of the wills goes on between you and me and God. We have our will. God has His. But it is God's purpose to get the conflict out of our lives and the clash and confusion out of our hearts and souls, and to bring us into subjection to His will. And in His process, and in His efforts, He'll lay the axe to the very root of the tree of self, mutilate that, destroy it. The very first condition of discipleship is expressed in the 16th chapter of Matthew, verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Somebody said to me one time about another party, said, "I think that's the worst enemy I have." And I thought, but I didn't say it, "You're mistaken there. The worst enemy you have is right in there. He's the one that's giving you the problem. Our worst enemy isn't any separated individual from us, but it's that fellow that's really attached to us. That fellow that is living right on the inside of us." Now, we cannot properly learn Christ until we have unlearned self. Now, every one of us have well-learned self. We don't need to think we haven't. We need not think we're any exception to the rule. That is the very thing that man acquired in the fall, was a bent toward self. And we've all learned that real well. And we can't learn Christ along with that. Brother Strong told one time about, he was sawing wood. He and another fellow were sawing logs with a cross-cut saw. And he said that other fellow was full of questions. And they were down there pulling the saw, and he felt the saw let up on the other end, and he looked up, and this fellow was straightening up, and he says, "Brother Strong, I want to ask you a question." Brother Strong says, "All right." He asked him the question, Brother Strong answered it, and they went ahead with their sawing, and pretty soon the saw let up again, and he looked up, and that fellow was straightening up, and Brother Strong, I want to ask you another question. Well, he said that went on several times, and he'd answer his question, and they'd go on with their work, and pretty soon, why, he felt the fellow let up on his end of the saw again, and he straightened up, and the fellow says, Brother Strong, you know what I've decided? Brother Strong said, no, but I guess I don't. Well, he said, I've decided I'm going to have to unlearn a whole lot of things I already learned. Well, that's just the way with you and me, folks. We're just going to have to unlearn a whole lot of things we already learned. We learned how to contend for our own way. We learned how to pursue our own course and how to seek our own pleasure. We learned that, and we learned that well, but we're going to have to unlearn that and get that clear out of our thinking if we're going to properly learn Christ. What we need is to get the tug of war out of our souls. Get the clash and confusion out of our hearts. Get rid of the civil war that's going on inside of us. Those contradictory currents, those conflicting emotions and desires. Get rid of those things. Jesus is striving to centralize and to simplify our life into a fixed course with Him. And into a union, a close union with Him. Now thinking again about the battle of the wills. Our will's involved in everything. But we need to come to a point where God's will dominates. That's the predominant thing, is God's will. Not my will, but thine be done. Sometimes the battle of the wills is a clash between our will and God's will. Sometimes the battle of the will may involve the will of another individual. We may want to please another individual. Yes, we want to please God, but I want to please my friend too. Now, what God would have you and me to do is to get God's will preeminent in our hearts and lives, regardless of our own will, our friend's will, or whatever it is, and that in any given matter, we would strive to settle what God's will is in that. And when we know God's will, we would pursue that course without any thought of whether it's satisfying my friend, whether it's satisfying me, whatever it's doing, it's God's will. Now, God got it through to me some time back that if I pleased Him, I'd please everybody else that was entitled to be pleased. If people won't be pleased while you're pleasing God, they're not entitled to be pleased. If we're torn between two opinions, well, I think this is God's will, but here's my closest friend, and I'm not going to please this friend very well if I go this way. We're torn between two opinions, and the result is weakness, inner collapse, lack of outer effectiveness, in short, failure. Just plain failure. We need to learn to set everything else aside. My will, my friend's will, my parents' will, my wife's will, my husband's will, whatever it is. my children's will. Many a person has allowed their children to lead them away from God and the way of truth when they got up a little older, and the will of their children entered in and has led them away from the plain, simple way of the truth and of God. Whatever the person involved is to you, settle it what God's will is and pursue that course, regardless of what the feelings of other people are in that matter. Do God's will. That's the important thing for every child of God, is to do God's will. Now, we have a text in the 6th chapter of Matthew, and I think about verse 22, is as the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Now, folks, let me tell you something. It's going to be a difficult matter for you to discern God's will in any given matter while your own will is predominant. It's the battle of the wills. I read George Muller's book, The Life of Trust. George Muller was a mighty man of faith. His policy was to trust God and trust God implicitly for everything in his life. George Muller, by faith and on this principle, he established a number of orphanages in England. And in those orphanages, he diligently sought the will of God in every one he opened up, and laid certain conditions before God. And he established them by faith, never asking anyone for any support, just trusting God. When he started this venture, it was with the specific thought in mind of proving to his brethren in his time, when faith was at a low ebb, that God still lived today, and that God would answer prayer, and that God would take care of anybody that trusted him. And now he said that when he was seeking the will of God in any matter, he said he always had his will. But before he could settle on anything being the will of God, he said he prayed, and he prayed, and he kept praying until he was dead to his own will. Just didn't make any difference to him. As far as he was concerned, how things come out, just dead to his own will. Then when he reached that point, he said he was able to settle on the will of God. Now, if thine eye be single, if we've got an eye single to God's glory, single to God's will, our own will, our own glory, everything out of consideration, all for God, none for self, then he said, thy whole body shall be full of light. You'll be able then to discern what the will of God is. But he said, if thine eye be evil, evil is set over here in clear distinction to single, which would mean a divided eye. With an eye divided, a divided purpose, a divided will, a clash and confusion going on in my own heart and mind in regard to the matter. The whole body will be full of darkness. You'll never be able to discern what God's will is under circumstances like that. Folks, we must get rid of the clash and confusion out of our hearts and minds. We must bring a conclusion to the battle of the wills by dying out to our own will, submitting our will, accepting God's will for us wholeheartedly, not my will, but thine be done. Then we can get somewhere with God. Then we'll be able to discern what God's will is in any given matter. Now, sometimes, folks say, I just don't see this. I don't see that. I just don't see God's way. The difficulty in seeing God's way and the way of truth is that we've got our own way up there. Now we're told in the 21st chapter of Proverbs in verse 2, every way of a man right in his own eyes. That makes my way prominent, doesn't it? It all looks right to me. What I devise and what I plan, what I work out, that all looks right to me. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Well, as long as I look at that, I can't see God's way. I can't see the truth. God knew that. So he told us in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, verses 7 and 8, he says, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, who will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We can't go God's way as long as we're holding on to our own. We can't see the truth as long as we're holding on to some idea of our own. If the eye be single, the whole body will be full of light. Our way looks right to us. The Bible said that, and that makes it so, doesn't it? Could be no argument about it. When God said it, that's it. Every way of a man's right in his own eyes. But now, God is calling upon you and me to forsake our ways. Forsake our thoughts. If we would submit to Jesus, he'd lead us into a channel of life where that, by that he simplified for us by getting life straightened out on one straight line, one clear channel, it would bring power and strength and unity of purpose into our lives, and some definite accomplishments in the efforts that we put forth. You cannot see God's way while you're looking at your own way. Folks, we got to lose sight of our own way before we can discern God's way. And we have to submit and lay down our own will before we can discern God's will in any given matter. We might pray, God, show me your will. Help me to discern your will in this matter. But all the while, we've got it back in our mind, this is the way it is, and I won't accept it unless it corresponds with this. This is what I think's right. We don't get anywhere that way, folks. Just failure in the end. We have a man, his name was Caleb. And he was one of the 12 spies that was sent over to spy out the land of Canaan. Moses sent him. Now, this particular incident that I relate now was 40 years later. You remember how that thing all worked out. And Joshua and Caleb brought back a good report. The giants were over there all right. They didn't contradict what the other fellow said. 10 of them brought back an evil report. They said it was a good land, but there was great walled cities, and there was giants over there that just makes us look like grasshoppers in their sight, and the Bible said they just caused the heart of the people to melt. Just wilted them down. They got as weak as water. But Joshua and Caleb said, yes, the giants are there. The walled cities are there. But if our God be with us, we're abundantly able to take it. And they tried to persuade the people, but the people listened to the 10. And their hearts melted. They turned back, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years as a result of that. And all of the adults of that time perished out there in the wilderness during that time. Now they have come to the entrance in of the land of Canaan. It's 40 years later now. Caleb's 80 years old. He said he was 40 when Moses sent them. Now I'm 80. At this day. Seems like maybe it's his birthday. This day I'm 80 years old. And he said, you remember now, Joshua. Joshua was in charge now and said, you remember what Moses spoke concerning us and our inheritance. And he gave me that mountain up there where the Anakims are. That's where the giants were. And now, that was my inheritance, and he gave me that. He says, I'm 80 years old today, but as of now, he says, I'm just as strong for war, both to go out and to come in, as I was 40 years ago, the day Moses sent us. And I want my inheritance today for a birthday present. So Joshua turned it over to him for him to go up there and take it. But there's a little secret in that. He says that he maintained his strength. And at the age of 80, he was just as strong as he was at the age of 40. But he says, why it was? He says, because I followed the Lord my God. Folks, if you and I settle it down in our heart that we'll wholly follow the Lord our God, regardless of where that leads us, regardless of what is involved in that, regardless of how things go in our lives or in the lives of those with whom we're associated, we'll be strong in the Lord and we can get somewhere with God. Just wholly follow the Lord our God. Caleb did that, and he was able to go in and take that place. And at the age of 80, he wasn't afraid of those giants yet. The Anakims up there. I wholly followed the Lord my God. Folks, that's the sum and total. That's the crux of the whole matter. That's the thing that enter in to the people's lives and their effort to live for God. Here's the crux of the whole matter. I wholly followed the Lord my God. Folks, if you and I will settle it today, whatever's been going on in our lives, however contradictory our lives may have been, however divided, however plagued with duplicity that we may have been, we'll settle it in our hearts today that from today henceforth I will wholly follow the Lord my God. Life can change for us. The outcomes and the outlooks can change for us. Victories will begin to be prominent. Courage will rise. We'll feel in our very soul, whatever our age is, I'm still able to bear fruit for God and go right out and meet the enemy and meet my problems in life and overcome them and possess a triumphant faith. Amen.